Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God together, and as we look at God's Word today, we trust that we will find another lesson that will enable us to live the kind of Christian lives we ought to live. For that has been the purpose of our study of the book of Joshua, and as you realize, if you have been with us for any length of time in the study, that we are coming to the end of the study now, looking today at the 21st chapter of the book of Joshua in a very general way, not attempting to read it on the broadcast because time does not permit. For you do recognize, as you glance at the 21st chapter, that it is a list of names. And if we were to take the time to read the cities of the Levites that are described here in Joshua chapter 21, I do not know that the time would be wisely used. So we would like for you to have just a survey of the chapter without reading it. You will keep in mind that Joshua had been apportioning the land among the various tribes, and he had apportioned all of the land, as we have seen, even providing for the 20 cities of refuge, which are described in the book as being places where men might flee when their life was at stake. A beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the refuge of us all. Of course, during the time that the land was being apportioned, there was one tribe that did not receive any particular portion of land, that is, any particular geographical location in one particular area, and that tribe was the tribe of Levi. And now, the Levites, of course, did occupy the cities of refuge, but they were to have more than the cities of refuge simply described in Joshua 20. So they ask the typical question that the other tribes had asked when the land was being apportioned: what about us? Where are we going to come in when it comes time to have the portion that God said we might have? The description of that allotment is presented here in chapter 21. And as I mentioned, there is no particular need for us to read this chapter just to obtain a list of names and geographical places, but I would remind you that I have showed you two times over in our study of the book of Joshua how you can glean spiritual truths from the names of cities and portions of land, and we might suggest that you do that for yourself if you want to have further study in the book. Some of the names, as you glance at the 21st chapter, you will be able to recognize, but we're going to summarize the chapter so that we might have a backdrop against which chapter 22 of the book of Joshua is actually painted. So as we suggest that to you, I would like to remind you that the cities of refuge, which belonged to the Levites, numbered 48. I believe a bit earlier I used the number 40. 48 is the correct number. Now, 6 of the 48 cities were the cities of refuge that we looked at in detail as they were described in the previous chapter. These cities, 6 cities of refuge, were where the priests lived and where individuals could flee, as we learned in our lesson, flee for safety. Now, the cities of refuge were all appointed by Lot. That is, not by the man Lot, with whom you are familiar, but the cities were chosen by Lot. That is, the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate of the high priest was used to determine where each of the Levites would settle among the various tribes. Now, this is very interesting to me, because it's a perfect illustration of God's overruling providence. Because the places where these individuals settled in the cities of refuge were determined by Lot on the basis of the kind of service which they were to render. Now think about it. The Lot, the black and the white stone, God showed his choice. Some people might think it was chance, but really not. God controlled the way the lot fell. That's what I mean by his overruling providence. And some folk might think that the various members of the tribe of Levi were given the places where they stayed on the basis of chance. But not so. They were given the places where they stayed on the basis of the overruling providence of God. They were given the places where they were going to stay, for example, on the basis of the kind of service which they were to render. For example, Aaron, who rendered a priestly service, settled in the land of Judah. You will remember that the city of Jerusalem was in the land of Judah, and in the city of Jerusalem, eventually, upon Mount Moriah, long after the days of Aaron, stood the tabernacle of God, the temple, the central place of worship. Now, if Joshua had just been assigning places, he could very well have assigned Aaron and his immediate descendants to any number of places throughout all Israel. But since their purpose was priestly service, God saw to it that they were settled in the land of Judah. You should take comfort in the assurance today that God always settles you where you can render the best service. You might keep that in mind if you do not like your location. Sometime, if you think you ought to move, before you do, you had better seek the mind of the Lord, because He has a way of settling people in the place where they ought to be. And if the place where God has settled you has been a bit difficult, may I suggest to you that you remember, God put me here. God has a purpose for my being here, and by His grace I will endeavor to fulfill that purpose. Now, because God did settle by lot, it is an interesting thing to notice that He settled the people not only in view of the kind of service they were to render, but in view of the purpose of the service which they were to render. And there is a difference. The kind of service that Aaron was to render was a priestly service in the tabernacle. But the purpose of the service of the Kohathites, which were other members of the tribe of Levi, was a witnessing service. So God scattered the Kohathites throughout all the tribes of Israel, so that every tribe would have living in its midst one of the Levitical families, that they might be a constant reminder of God's purpose and will for the entire nation of Israel. Of course, it would be wise for us to keep in mind that God settles us according to the purpose for which we are called as He sees it. Keep that in mind. As He sees it, and He knows it. Sometimes, you know, we get the idea that it would be real nice to live in a Christian community where everybody is a Christian. It would be rather nice to have that kind of fellowship all the time, wouldn't it? But God has left us in a world that needs us. Though we are not of the world, He has left us in the world for the purpose of witnessing, and He has scattered us about for that purpose, because that is the thing to which He has called us, and He has a way sometimes of when we're getting settled to uproot us and send us to another place because of witnessing. Now, those of you who have been familiar with the ministry of any church, I'm sure, can recognize that families move in and they get settled and they add so much to the fellowship of the church, and other families move in and they get settled and they add so much to the fellowship of the church. And by, you see these families move. God moves them to another place. Now, of course, in the flesh, you hate to see them go. You'd rather have them stay right there in your fellowship and continue to add their blessing and be used of God right there. But if you are conscious of the fact that God has a will concerning every place everybody is, you never argue with the will of God. In the flesh you might grieve that your friends are moved on to another place, but in the spirit you rejoice because you know that God is moving them on for the purpose of ministering. And we have the happy privilege of knowing in our local fellowship that there are people who have sat under the ministry of the Word of God and are being used of God around the world. And this would not have been the case if there had not been that particular manner of God in putting people where he wanted them to be for an express purpose. This was the purpose of the manner in which the Levites were settled among the Israelites. Now, before God was ready to conclude his dealing with the nation of Israel in the land, the Holy Spirit records what is presented in the 22nd chapter of the book of Joshua, 34 verses in all, and we are not going to read those verses because, again, time interferes with that. I hope that you will read them so that when we refer to certain verses from the chapter, you will be able to recognize their connection with the entire content of the chapter itself. After having read the chapter myself, however, and attempting to teach it to you today, if I were going to give a title to the chapter as far as the spiritual lessons are concerned that I would like for us to learn, I would entitle it The Folly of Good Intentions. The Folly of Good Intentions. Because when you read this chapter, you're going to find that the whole chapter revolves around some good intentions that the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh had. We're going to see how those intentions, good though they were folly. And as we examine the folly of the good intentions of the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, I think we will see some things to avoid in our Christian experience. Now, you will keep in mind that the tribe Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, in the early days of settling the land, settled on this side of Jordan. They were going to take the easy way out. But Joshua said, it isn't fair for you to settle on this side of Jordan while your brethren have the whole land yet to be conquered. And they said, oh, well, that's all right. We'll leave our women and children here. We'll go fight all the battles, and then we'll come back and settle our land. And so they did exactly that. And we read in the 22nd chapter, or you will have the opportunity of so doing, that the land was allotted, peace had come, all the enemies were defeated, and Joshua said to Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, now go home. You've done well. You've said you would stay with your brethren until the battle has been fought, and you have. Now go home and build up your own lands and get settled and begin to serve your God. Now, if they had done just that, it would have been fine. But as you read the chapter, we're going to discover they did something else, which was a good intention, but caused a lot of trouble. Try to be with us tomorrow as we look in detail at what they did, that we might avoid the same folly. We hope you'll be able to be with us then.